We had a collaboration with some Chinese scientists.
Here we have a vaccine. What is the problem? Get over it.
Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
I hope that it can occur in a civil way. I mean civil in a special way, peaceful.
The biggest question, maybe in economics and politics of the coming decade, will be what to do with all these useless people.
I just see the need for such a dialogue, and I see the need for action. I see the need for a great reset.
We are 4 years into 14 days to flatten the curve. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Johnny Empson alongside Bruce Adams. And we have to celebrate that today is 4 years. How are you today, Bruce?
I'm healthy and alive, doing well. And honor of this, I am still mask-free and not doing any kind of like social distancing or any. Well, I mean, I already kind of social distance anyway. There's a bubble. But glad to say that that is dead and gone here. At least in this part of the country. Now it's Bidenomics.
Yes, it is Bidenomics. But, you know, did you see what Biden said that they had to do? The first thing that they had to do once they got reelected. Did you catch that? The first
I did not.
Order of business. You did not catch that? You didn't hear that. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to play it so you can hear it straight from the horse's mouth. But here it is.
Folks, we have come through pretty tough times. And I know we got a lot more to do. We had to stay off. We had to start off by vaccinating America. Trump stood flat-footed during that period of time before the pandemic.
See, now when he gets reelected, they're going to have to start off by vaccinating America.
Hmm. Against what is my question? Because at this point, COVID. I just had some family members. They're in the high risk age bracket for COVID. They just had COVID. A couple of weeks ago. They're fine. They had COVID for, a few days, whatever it lasts. We'll say a week or so. Went to the doctors, got
second
some meds,
time.
And they're fine.
Second time?
I think that was the first time they had it.
First time.
I think.
Okay. All right.
I think
so. Well, this is the CDC director or whatever. Walensky's gone. They gave her a golden parachute. She's sitting somewhere. But there's this one.
We need to see everyone get an updated flu shot and an updated COVID vaccine. We also shared on Friday that we expect and anticipate there's going to be an updated COVID vaccine coming this fall, right? So plan now, right? It's March, so you can think ahead when you're going to get your flu shot in the fall, you're going to get another updated COVID vaccine. And the reason for it is because this virus continues to change. That's okay. We can stay one step ahead of it. We have the tools to do it. We just need to use them. So FDA, CDC has started that process just like we do with the flu shot. We've started that process to update the COVID vaccine already for this fall. And so we just want folks to, again, already start thinking about that.
Just start thinking about that, right? Get that in your head, because that's going to happen yearly now. Unless, why don't they just do a merger, flu and COVID, just into one mRNA shot? Why don't you just do that?
I mean, they've talked about doing that. I know these family members of mine have gotten the flu shot many years in a row, every flu season, and yet they still manage to catch the flu. But I've had many talks with these family members trying to explain to them that that doesn't work, because it takes the, four or five most common flu variants from last year and vaccinates you against that. They're just basically shooting from the hip, trying to find the right variant. It doesn't work that way. Same with COVID. It's mutating too quickly to make a vaccine that's going to work long term. It's just, not to mention the fact that it's mRNA and it's entirely new tech that's causing other problems. But honestly, they're just out to kill you at this point, I think. You're dumb enough to take the jab, so Darwin Award.
Perhaps you should just consider boosting your own immunity. And this is how you can do it, Bruce. You can switch arms for vaccines, and that could help boost your immunity. You see?
Okay. We've already disproven that the vaccine stays in your arm. They were saying that in the beginning, that it doesn't enter your bloodstream or any of that. And that was debunked rather quickly, that no, it does in fact get into your bloodstream. And I don't know why. I don't know why they thought that was ever the case with vaccines in general, because it's going to get into your bloodstream, period. That's something I've never understood exactly, because your body is constantly moving things around when it comes to wastes and food and all that kind of stuff. Oxygen.
What is just one of those things, you know? You should just do the best you can and take care of yourself, and don't listen to any of these idiots that are on the television or in the newspapers or any of that stuff, and just ignore them and live your life and be as healthy as you can be. That's the best that you can ask for. We talked about this on Tuesday. TikTok, they passed the ban on TikTok in the House. So I was telling you in prep that I want TikTok to be gone, but at the same time, I also agree with you where you said that this is a precedent for them to ban other things. And if they start banning other things, well, then we're to blame on that. Well, I also think that it befalls upon us as the responsible citizenry to hold the people in government in check, to say, all right, you ban TikTok, that's enough. You're not going any further than that. But we don't exactly have the most responsible of people these days when it comes to holding the government in check. Case in point, we put up with COVID, didn't we? We put up with that. Nearest I can tell, we're not holding anybody accountable. Has anybody been held accountable at the, hell, forget the federal level. You might as well just cancel Christmas on that one. The international level, don't even talk to me about that. The state level, the local level, the county level, has anybody held one of those mayors or county health department people responsible for what they did during COVID, for shutting down your business or stopping you from going to see one of your dying family members? Nobody's been held accountable for that. Are we going to hold the government accountable for this now? I don't think so. I do not think so. And I gave you a reference just for a comparison. If this were the time of the Cold War, and we actually had some people with a half a brain that were in charge, that could actually see the real threat at the time as to what was going on, would we have allowed the Soviet Union to run this type of thing? The answer is no.
And I agree. I think if we would have had this issue back in the day, we and the Soviets were doing it. I mean, technically, it is still the Soviets that are doing it. I mean, China's following
Soviet China.
Similar.
They established it.
Yeah.
The Russians went in and set that system up. It's based on the Leninist and Stalinist system in China. It's just Mao just twisted it.
Yeah. So I am in agreement there. The problem is the difference. Back in the day, we understood that the Soviet Union bad. We understood that their infiltration in our systems bad. Generally, the public's opinion of Soviet Russia was bad. Whereas now, China is our partners. China does some bad things. You know, there's some bad policies there. There's generally some bad image around manufacturing, but it's not understood that China bad, like Soviet Union bad. Now, I don't know how to change that either. And I'm not saying we should target like the citizenry and all of that. I'm saying when I say China, I mean, you know, CCP. So how do we change the imagery so that it's understood that the reason we're banning TikTok is because CCP, not because TikTok bad? And that's kind of what's being pushed right now is TikTok bad, so we got to ban TikTok. That's a problem, because now if somebody comes up and says, I don't know, pick your favorite conservative type program, or hell, not even that. Let's use something that's based on entertainment. Let's say the government's going after video game companies now and trying to get user data from it. Let's say they go after video game companies like Valve, and they go after their platform Steam and say Steam bad. Well, you just lost all, you know, access to your games and stuff. That I have issue with that. And I know TikTok, okay, yeah, that's not, you're not spending money on TikTok technically. However, as we kind of kick them around a bit, but influencers are on TikTok. There are people that make money on TikTok through TikTok. And to ban it, what then? What What are those people going to do for income? If their entire income or a large portion of their income is through TikTok, what are they supposed to do now?
Don't do business with China.
I agree, but that's not necessarily saying they're doing business with China.
Well, that's true.
I mean,
that's true. But at the same time, I don't think that this should have gotten to this point in the first place. This should not have been allowed to begin with. So we wouldn't be dealing with all of the fallout of it now, because we're now saying, oh, wait a minute, now this is a problem. Well, China has been a problem for a very long time, but we don't declare them to be an adversary. We declare them to be a partner. And until we have a defined adversary, then we can't do anything about it.
Yeah, I agree with that. We should have never been in this position to begin with. The forcing of sale, so they're planning to either ban or sell it, right? That's the argument. I have issue with selling it as well. Forcing a sale like this, that would be the lesser evil, I think, in this case. The government forcing the sale of it, and then it goes to an American company or corporation.
At least what I'm looking at right now, it looks like they're trying to, like, this bill is going to force ByteDance, which is the parent company of TikTok, which is, you know, has a board of CCP members. It would force them to divest their stake in TikTok. So they're actually going to, it would force them to divest. How can we do that with a foreign company, though?
That's another good question.
It's not a US-based company. ByteDance is based in China. So how are we going to force ByteDance to divest in their own subsidiary in another country? You can't do that unless they're doing this just on the face of it, just to show
that. I mean, it could just be that the other issue that you run into, let's say they do sell it, you're going to run into a similar situation that TikTok with TikTok that Twitter has, where the entire code base has to be completely upended. And to fix it, you're just going to have to rewrite the entire code. That's the problem. It's just going to be a bunch of spaghetti code that's they've been tacking on add-ons and just garbage onto it. From a coding perspective, it's not going to be a fun process. So I don't know. I don't think it should be operating here in the U.S. In the West in general, because it's used to spread propaganda. And also it's just the amount of spying and everything it does as well. It's not good.
Yeah, I was listening to Joe Rogan one time. He was explaining, because they had their people. I've never looked at it. I mean, we do read TOS for the things that we have to do, but I've never looked at TikTok because obviously we don't do that. And he had his people digging through TikTok's TOS. And they found that, and I heard him say this on air, they found that TikTok has the ability, when you sign the TOS, so when you agree to everything, you know, the thing you just tick, I agree, and, you know, you click through it. When you do that, you give them access to your microphone, your camera, all that stuff, anytime they choose on your device. What was really creepy about this, if that's not bad enough, they also say in the TOS that they reserve the right to have access to other devices. They don't mention what those are, and the audiovisual capabilities on those other devices, even if those other devices don't possess TikTok on them. Figure that one out.
How is that not a
big problem for any company, not just TikTok.
I agree with you. But if you're to look at it from a legalese standpoint, and you look for the benign explanation.
You're going to trigger the English. Stop.
I did that on purpose. Let's say someone is doing a selfie or whatever, and behind them is a television that's going. That could be a way to cover themselves for copyright material there. Other than that,
no, it wasn't. It wasn't covering. I understand what you're saying. It wasn't that. It was they have the right to access that device.
Yeah, that's where it's.
Now here's
you would think somebody would have figured that out by now, because there's enough internet sleuths out there that if there was any kind of internet traffic or network traffic that shouldn't be there, you would think that somebody would have noticed that and tracked it down to being the TikTok app that's accessing it. That has to be the kind of coding you would have to put in place
to do that. Yeah, that was my question, is how can you do that remotely like that to another device?
Unless they're like actively backdooring and accessing the network and then skimming off like network data from there and then decrypting the network data, maybe that's the most I could see them doing. But to actually go in and have access to other apps or other appliances that don't have the app, that's a bit of a stretch. Not impossible, but it's a stretch.
It's not impossible, but I mean, but then again, this is China, you know, we're talking about, so.
And it would have to be a targeted attack. That's the other thing, is it's not like it's, you have TikTok running and it's skimming all the data around you from every app in the area. That's a lot of data that would be, it would be skimming and sending off. So it would definitely have to be a targeted attack.
Indeed it would. All right. Would you like to discuss the unfortunate? I know this is tough. This is going to be a hard thing to watch. There was an assassination attempt on Xi Jinping.
Yeah. Caught the video of that. And
yeah, here it is, you know, just to make sure, you know, cause you honestly, you hate to see it. You hate to see that.
Yeah.
Video from right in front of the, you know, right as it happened, there just happened to be somebody right there with a camera in a car and following it. Did you notice how close they were? Like they're following the team, the security team, as they're dragging the intelligence up, the fall guy away, the suspect, and the car just happened to move right at the same time.
Yeah, it definitely looked a suspect. The other question I have is, how did someone even get up to G to having an assassination attempt? That doesn't, we kind of have a perimeter around our president, and you would not be able to get that close to the president to do something like this in a public area, because it looked like he was just coming out of like a building of some kind and stepping into a car.
That's the presidential palace. That's where his residence is. Yeah.
Okay. So he's walking out. So the amount of security that would be there, this all looks like it's staged.
Yes. And you notice that there's another security. You see that security guy right there that had the badge on that's doing nothing?
Yeah. You're just standing around walking.
Yeah.
Or like the officer that's in the street. He could be just a traffic, you know, directing traffic, but he's rubbernecking and just watching.
This is also China. They do have a different way of doing things. They don't really get involved whenever things like that happen. So, you know, because there's a potential for something to go wrong. So they just kind of ignore things. You know, human life means not very much over there.
We have watched a video of like a runaway moped or something like that. And the person just stands in the middle of the street as the moped runs them down. Instead of moving to try to dodge it, they just stand there and watch.
Yeah.
From like the moped is like 40 meters away from them when they first see it, and they just stand there. Yeah, it's definitely different.
It is. I actually saw a video today of, it was out of China. Let me see if I can find it here. And it was a gas explosion in China. So check this out. Okay. So you've got this car's just going along. It was a gas explosion at a restaurant and just boom. Right now, when you get a little bit further, you'll see the sidewalk version here. I want you to watch people's reactions. Okay. So when this comes up right here, watch people's reactions. Okay. So this is just every day. This is, the building's going to be on the right. Okay. So it's going to be just up there past that guy on the bike. People's everyday reactions as they just go along. Massive explosion. Whole building comes down. And people just go on about their business like nothing. Except for that poor woman right there that just got clocked in the head.
You did have the one guy in the car that just
decided he bailed. To bolt. Yeah, of course. And some restaurant workers. But the initial people, nothing. Everything's fine.
She got smacked in the back of the head by a piece of sign, it looked like.
Yeah. There is some kind of law that they have over there or something to that effect where someone gets involved, then you're responsible. So people just kind of ignore things that happen right in front of them.
No good Samaritan laws there.
No, nothing like that. No.
Quite the explosion. Wouldn't surprise me if this were an accident, being as China has such problems with quality of goods. But at the same time, it would not surprise me if it was political opposition or something like that that was being
could have purged. Been, but only one person was, you know, I think it was like the restaurant owner or something like that. They got caught in it. And then the rest of them, there were, I think, like 8 injuries or something like that. But the point is that they just carry on with their business. You know, they don't get involved. So just like what you saw in front of the presidential palace there was that.
No injuries, no deaths.
Yeah, no injuries, no deaths, nothing like that. You don't have to worry about it. Nothing to see here. Move along. That's fine. And speaking of nothing to see here and move along, shall we discuss Haiti?
Yeah, I heard a new warlord is taking power.
Yes, Mr. Barbecue has grabbed power down there. The president or prime minister has resigned, and Mr. Barbecue has taken over, and he has vowed a bloody revolution.
I also seen that we sent in some anti-terrorism Marines there as well to the embassy.
Yeah, we need to get our staff out. Non-essential personnel has been evacuated. I don't know why. Why are we still keeping essential people there? Why are we doing that? It's on its way to becoming a failed state. That's actually, I would argue, it's probably already a failed state. This is Congressman Matt Gaetz speaking in the Senate Armed Services Committee, I believe. That is General Richardson. Is that General Richardson? Yes. This is Gaetz making a valid point about, are we going to be seeing a migration surge coming out of Haiti into the U.S. now? I would say yes. I would say there's a high probability of that. Now, here's the question. Do we send naval vessels out there to deal with that? Of course, the answer is going to be yes from someone like myself. But do we have the political will to do it? Here's the testimony.
So what's the difference between Haiti and a failed state? It's telling, right? We can't really identify them because the gangs are in charge. The government has been thrown out. And as a Florida man, I'm deeply concerned about this wave of people that we're about to have, that we are having, coming from Haiti. And it will accelerate because I've gone to Opa-locka and I've spent time with the folks that are engaged in Operation Vigilant Sentry. And they say the number one push factor that drives these Haitians into Broward County, Palm Beach County, where they don't disperse throughout the country, they stay in Southeast Florida. That driving factor is the deterioration of conditions in Haiti. So what are we doing to prepare for that wave and to ensure that these people are not paroled into the United States as the administration has done with people on the southern border, but instead are repatriated back at the dock at Port-au-Prince?
Congressman, we're doing a number of things to ensure that we're keeping track of the situation and we're prepared. At the moment, we have not yet seen large numbers, what we would characterize as a maritime mass migration. But we are alert to that.
A mass migration, though.
We are alert to that possibility. I think you're right that the driving conditions in Haiti could very well press more people. So we've recently approved some additional assistance that we can provide to the Coast Guard. I think that has now fully been approved. We'll be providing notifications if we haven't already provide additional shipboard assistance.
Because I've talked to the Coast Guard, and what they say would really support them would be more naval vessels, would be DOD support. And because I think you correctly said that there is an anticipated mass migration here, there are specific legal authorities that we can access that I would implore you to access. Specifically, George W. Bush signed Executive Order 13276. And in that executive order, there is the ability for any president to designate an anticipated mass migration and then get gray hull naval vessels into the Straits of Florida to deter that migration and then to repatriate those people before they get to Florida.
Why is this not being done? Why are we having discussions about it? We should just be doing it.
That's my question as well. I have issue with referencing an executive order there, in my opinion, because those are
fair.
Powerless, more or less.
It is, and it can be rescinded. Now that that's been public, what do you think the Biden administration is going to do? They're going to rescind it.
Yeah, they can easily rescind it. So when it comes to this, we should have more military vessels down there to ensure that this doesn't happen. But we've been arguing this very same point when it comes to the border in general. We need to have better security. And then when people do get across the border, whether it be by sea or land or air or whatever, doesn't matter. You should be sent back to country of origin or nearest country of origin. You're not supposed to be here. That like your first action in the country is illegal. So bye-bye. Get out.
There is no plan or program to stop that. We have not done anything on the border to ensure any kind of deportation, repatriation, anything. And I think that's one of the biggest things that's, and it's anticipated now. I don't see it happening. At least if it does happen, I will be very surprised. If you're a President Trump and you're coming back in, you're going to have the largest mass-scale deportation operation in American history to get rid of all this. And when I say all this, I'm talking just the upwards of 10 million. I don't give a damn what the State Department numbers are and the DHS numbers are. 10 million since the Biden administration took office. You're going to have a deportation program put together unlike anything our country has ever seen. It's got to happen.
And there needs to be punishment for businesses that are hiring illegals that don't have the proper paperwork to be here to work. Those businesses need to be punished as well.
Well, I think the state governors, I'll go a step further. I think the state governors that are paving the way for businesses to do what you're talking about, they need to be held accountable too.
Agreed. It needs to go. Everybody involved needs to be. And these sanctuary cities, the people that are, the government officials that are creating these sanctuary cities and whatnot, they need to be punished as well. You can't make sick. That's not constitutional. You don't have the right to unilaterally say our city is a sanctuary city. That's not how it works. There's nothing in the Constitution that says you can do that. Immigration stuff is supposed to be up to the federal government. And when the federal government fails to do their job, it's on the states to protect themselves. So that's another reason I've been saying that the border states need to be utilizing their own National Guard to secure their portion of the border. And then we just need to, there's a new proposed bill that would go after illegal aliens that are sexual predators. Why are we creating new laws? It's just another law for them not to enforce. We already have laws against illegals. You're here illegally. You get detained and deported. That is what it's supposed to be, period. You don't need another special law to go after, special individuals that are illegal. No, you're here illegally. Bye-bye. And then you need to ensure that they don't get back. And then if they do get back, maybe we need something in place. We talked about this a little bit in prep. They committed a murder and then you find out they've been deported already like 9 times before that. Well, maybe we need to have a process in place that when you're basically a serial, illegal immigrant and then you go and kill someone, maybe you should be put on death row and it be expedited, you know, like 10 years maybe or something like that. If we use more force on the border. I know people don't like the idea, but, because you remember the whole debacle we had with the DOJ claiming that some of the Border Patrol were using whips on the.
Which illegals. It was just reins on the horses that where they were just whipping. Yeah, because that's what you use to keep the horse in check. Is that?
Yeah. Yeah. And you do have to keep the people away from the horse, because if you scare the horse, then the horse could not only injure the rider, but also the people around the horse.
Yes.
So that all made sense. However, you've seen the public outcry around that. You can imagine if we started using force to secure our borders, there would be a lot of public outcry involved there. However, that would also clean up the border issue that we would have. You don't even have to target like the people that are coming across illegally. Just go after the cartels that are, smuggling people over. Just get rid of them.
Well, yes and no. You could get rid of the cartels, but we need to get rid of the ones that actually enable the cartels. That's a bigger problem.
True.
But in order for us to do that, because you had General Richardson that was sitting in that Inquisition. You saw her. She was there. She had just clicked off. But she's one of the head of our U.S. Southern Command. And she said, Russia and China are arming the drug cartels. Like, we need to deal with them. And
I mean, we have
we got Russia Hezbollah operating in Venezuela like now, right now.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, we had our own government providing weapons and arms to the cartels.
Fast and furious.
And we don't know what else is going on behind the scenes, because there's instances where they're using American weapons.
Well, to be fair, the Fast and Furious thing with what Obama did with Eric Holder, the Fast and Furious thing to truck the guns down to the cartels to have them brought back to then blame the Second Amendment, that maneuver that they did. Who have those people been in bed with most of their political career, if not all of it? That would be Moscow and Beijing. I would chalk that up to, they're not playing on the opposite side of the field, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. Honestly, this whole situation with the with Haiti, to go back there, at this point, what solution do you have? I mean, we've been propping up Haiti for a long time with providing them with food and whatnot. So it's they go in and deliver the food or medicine, whatever, supplies. And then the gangs all distribute it, like they take possession of it, and essentially it keeps empowering the gangs. So at this point, what do you do with that? It is a failed state. So how do we resolve that? I've always been a proponent of, like, when you're giving charity, you can help people out immediately in the immediate, because they have immediate needs, like food, shelter, those kind of things. But you don't keep giving handouts. You got to teach them how to fish, as the old saying is. give a man a fish, you give him a meal or a dinner, but you teach him to fish, then he can eat for a lifetime. It's kind of the same concept. You got to teach them how to sustain themselves.
Well, speaking of failed states and cutting off things like that, we'll get into the banking system here in just a minute, because I do want to talk about that, because you and I were talking about that. I think it was last year, the overnight loans. Yeah, there's been a big change there, and that's not really a lot of public information. So we'll talk about that here in just a second. But as far as managing a failed state, Bruce, what if we had our own failed state in pockets, right, kind of thing, because we're headed towards failed state status by importing all of this problem. We talked about Venezuela last week. Venezuelan violent crime is down 22%. It's down to 8% nationwide down there. Now, again, communist government, you can't really believe the numbers too much. However, the reason it's down, according to our surveys, is because we've imported all the crime into the U.S. And as you say, sanctuary cities. We've always told people, stay out of the cities, right? Stay out of the cities. Bruce, do you ever feel like, I don't know, you call the police, it comes from a place of privilege? You ever feel like that?
If I'm ever having to call the police, it's definitely not because I feel like I'm privileged. It's definitely because I'm needing aid immediately. Like,
yes.
It's more out of desperation,
or you just needed,
than it is out of privilege.
Well, that, or you just needed to come and just pronounce. I'll just leave it at that.
True. True. Yeah.
Well, the city of Pittsburgh, which is a sanctuary city, is it not? It is. I believe so. Democrat run. Yeah. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Yeah. They've got some new policy changes that are going into effect. And again, you know, you don't want to exercise too much of that privilege, right? Defund the police, right? We got to heed the call to defund the police. Check this out. You couldn't make this up.
Rick, what was the big takeaway today?
Yeah, Susan, residents of the city will see a major change in the way police respond. They will no longer respond to calls that aren't considered in-progress emergency. That means calls like criminal mischief, theft, harassment, and most burglary alarms will all be handled by an enhanced telephone reporting unit. That means residents will file a police report over the phone. Officers will not respond unless it's an emergency. Also, between the hours of 3 a.m. and 7 a.m., there will be no officers at any of the six stations throughout the city. Call boxes
what?
That link directly to 911 have been installed for people to use in case of an emergency. And during the overnight shift, there will be as few as 20 officers to cover the entire city. The chief said today the data supports that.
It changed the numbers.
It's enough to cover the entire city in those hours when we have 8% of the time people are calling. I'm confident in the decisions that we make that it impacts this bureau and the city in a much better way than we have in the past.
Now, the chief also acknowledging today that some of these changes are due to staffing shortages. He's down to 740 officers, well below the 850 they would like to have. Now, coming up new at 5, residents, city council, and the police union all weighing in on these big changes that begin Monday. Live in the studio, Rick Earle, Channel 11 News.
So between the hours of 3 a.m. and 7 a.m., there will be no officers, and there will be 20 that cover the in any of the stations, and there will be 20 that cover the entire city. So basically, and they're advertising this, basically, if you're a violent criminal, there's no other way to put this, you might as well just have the purge siren starting in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Because somebody comes into your home, you're just saying, yeah, you can go right into the, you know, somebody's home at 3:05 a.m. and you won't get a. Do you know what can happen in 4 hours?
A lot can happen in 4 hours. Well, someone can ransack your home in like, what, 15 minutes and steal everything of value out of it?
And shoot your dog. Yeah.
Yeah. And shoot your dog. Yeah. So I would not have a problem with this standard that they proposed if every single citizen there had the right to have a firearm and the right to use it to defend themselves.
Fair.
Even against
that
burglars.
That is fair. Yeah.
Yeah. Then you probably wouldn't need as many law enforcement officers because the citizenry would be able to protect themselves. I don't think you should. How do I word this? If you break into someone's home, I don't think it's the death penalty, right? However, if you break into someone's home, they have the right to defend themselves and their property. And if it ends up getting you killed, well, you forfeited your life when you breaking and entering. So I would be okay with this if they were allowed to have firearms. But you know good and well that they're not allowed to have firearms there. It's a pain in the ass to get firearms in anywhere in the Northeast. So
Pennsylvania.
This is bad. Yeah,
Pennsylvania has been one of those, and I think they're starting to come around, you know, back around to the constitutional carry concept. They don't already have it, but they're starting to come back around. You do look Pennsylvania. It's the state right next to where I come from, so I know the people. I spent a lot of time in PA, and I can tell you that the state of Pennsylvania, the people there outside of the cities are amazing people. They're great Midwestern people. That's just what they are. Once you get into the cities, you know, Philadelphia, Hamburg, Pittsburgh, you know, it's a different place. It's a completely different place. So once you get in there, it's something else. But the people outside of there are not much different than where I come from. You know, gun loving people, good folks. If you use a gun in the city, yeah, you're going to be in some trouble. Yeah. So you can't defend yourself, you know, in the cities. That's why we say just get out of the cities. And you know what? Pittsburgh's always been a rough town. It has, right? I used to go up there for like baseball games. I did some work up there, but Pittsburgh's always been a rough town. But I don't ever remember that anything like that. You know, nothing like that's ever happened before. They've never cut funding to the police like that. You also have other things that are in the mix here. We're coming off of COVID. So you had a lot of officers that left because I believe they had a vaccine mandate. I think all emergency and first responders there had to do the mandated thing unless they had an exemption. So you probably lost officers that way. And on top of that, the BLM stuff, all the riots and the George Floyd thing and all that stuff, and this hatred of the police that's been going on, this defund the police movement and this BS about how, you know, cops are, you know, what does Antifa say? All cops are bastards, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got officers that do their jobs. And I mean, do their jobs. And I mean, all the way up in the New York, too. They do their jobs and they get reprimanded, suspended without pay or fired and face criminal charges for doing their jobs. On top of that, you have Soros-funded district attorneys in these sanctuary cities, such as Pittsburgh, that will not prosecute crimes that the officers arrest or cite for. So why would you stay if you're a good cop? Why would you stay? You would go out in the county somewhere. I would. I'd go work for the county sheriff somewhere if I were a city cop. I wouldn't want to be in the city. They're wondering why they have staffing shortages. You're wondering why law and order is breaking down in the cities if it hasn't already broken down. You wonder why we're headed towards failed state status, like Congressman Gates was talking about, in the cities. I rest my case.
I mean, we already technically had failed state status during the Summer of Love. All the cities that were damaged by rioters, that was technically failed state territory. Look at Chaz and Chop. That was a case of failed state. I mean, we allowed a quote unquote nation to form inside of our nation. You know, they were trying to secede or revolt, insurrectionists, and we allowed it. There was no military. Trump wanted to use National Guard versus that military force probably would have been the best solution, in my opinion. Against the rioters and everything, but here we are. This whole I was seeing somewhere, and I'm trying to remember where I seen this, but I was seeing that in line with this with law enforcement, there was a town. There's areas of Connecticut. That's what it was. Are employing self defense brigades. They're basically just militia forces, more or less. Citizenry that's going around armed and patrolling the area as if they're law enforcement, but they're not actually law enforcement.
Oh, the Patriot Front's going to be a little jealous, I have to say.
Yeah, and in these places, it's actually supposedly people are coming to groups to basically hire them to do this. And they're not only patrolling in the sense of trying to keep the peace, but they're also like picking up litter and doing those kind of things. So, I mean, they're trying to better their community at the same time. I don't know anything about the groups or who they are. You know, I don't know any of that.
If it's
what their motive is or anything.
If it's actually of the community, as in like people of the community that are policing their own community, as in like shop owners, you know, business owners, restaurant owners, that kind of stuff, residents, whatever, you know, doing like neighborhood watch stuff, and they are working with the police or the county sheriff, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Apparently the mayor does not like this. The one
well,
of the areas
mayor doing
that
his
is
job.
Doing this.
is the problem. Well, like, that's the question.
Yeah.
Is that the problem? Is the mayor's forcing the police chief, because the police chief is, you know, usually is appointed by the mayor. Is the police chief being hindered by the mayor's office from doing his job? So the citizenry is taking it upon themselves. That's the question.
Okay. The group is actually called Self-Defense Brigade. And this is in Hartford, Connecticut, specifically.
Okay.
And apparently the founder is Cornell Lewis. And he says that we are legally armed and we are patrolling. That's basically his summary of it.
Well, here's my take on it. If people are interested in doing that, I will just say this as a, you know, an unofficial disclaimer, if you will. Go talk to your county sheriff.
Yeah.
And partner with them. If you have a problem, if you have a you know, city police, you know, city police department, and you're not getting anywhere with them, go talk to your county sheriff. And you have a group of people and you're concerned about security in your neighborhoods and your businesses, go talk to your county sheriff. Because the county sheriff, this is why George Soros is going after county sheriff positions. He's spending millions and millions and millions of dollars to try and have county sheriffs replaced, because that's where the actual power is in the U.S. The county sheriff doesn't even have to be a certified law enforcement officer. He's an elected official of, for, and by the people. And he has the ability to deputize the citizenry to help him and his other deputies in upholding the law. And you are legal when you do that.
I'm not seeing any kind of like manifesto or anything like that from this group. I'm not seeing any kind of...
Okay, well, that's...
It looks like it's just a group of...
All right.
Concerned citizens is what it looks like.
Well, if there's no manifesto or anything like that, then that means it's probably not Fed run, usually. But I'm just saying, if you're a group in the United States and you're concerned about that, go talk to your county sheriff before you do anything. You know, I'm just saying.
It looks like, just on the surface, it looks like they're not Feds. Just on this, because if you look at some of the other groups we've looked at.
Is it like Bob and his cousin Joey or something like that?
This is actually a black community. And that's the majority of the people that are involved is the black community.
And the
attire that they have does not look like it's Fed or anything. Okay. So,
all right. Well, anyway. All right. On over to the banking system. So 2008, let's take a little trip down memory lane, right? 2008, we had a little bit of a banking problem. I don't know if many people remember that.
It's a fun year.
It was a fun year, yeah. As a matter of fact, we're actually in this mess right now financially because of what we didn't do in 2008. And what didn't we do in 2008? We did not allow the banks to fail. We did not allow the bad debt that we had incurred to burn itself out. All of these banks that we have, J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, Citibank, Bank of America, all that stuff. All of these banks, none of those banks should be there. Deutsche Bank, Commerzbank, all that stuff. The German banks, Lloyds Bank, Barclays Capital, none of those should be there. All of them went bust in 08. But what did we do? Oh, you're too big to fail. You're too big to fail. We cannot have those banks fail because what's going to happen? People's pensions, their retirements, their 401ks, everything they've worked for, all of that would go away. Grocery stores, supermarkets across the Western world would be empty. Within, 3 days, maybe a week, would be gone. Possibly less, because as we saw during the Summer of Love, as Bruce pointed out, you can have a store looted in about, 10, 15 minutes when you've got 100 people that go in there? Yeah. You ever seen one of these countries like, Haiti, Sri Lanka, some South American country that collapses? Argentina is a good example. Have you seen what happens when you have starving people go in and loot one of those places? Doesn't last very long. So a banking collapse. That's what should have happened. And we should have dealt with it. We should have taken it on the chin because we screwed up in the first place and allowed that to happen. Instead, what did we do? We removed all of the things that would prevent this from becoming worse. And we continued on. We kicked the can down the road, as we say. Well, we have a problem. Now, that can has become a 55-gallon drum full of cement, and we cannot kick it any further. We have been saying this for untold years now on this podcast, when not many other people are doing that. We have been saying that we are headed for a financial crisis. I don't even want to call it a financial crisis. We are headed for a financial apocalypse, the likes of which the world has never seen before. I will go that far with it, because this is going to be global in scope this time. This is not going to be relegated to just the United States and Europe. This is going everywhere. My guess is it will start in Germany, and it will spread all the way across Asia. The Chinese system will collapse. The Russian system will collapse. The Japanese system will collapse. And the U.S. and the U.K. will be last. The Federal Reserve Bank in the United States has been giving out something called overnight loans to small banks. The banking system in the U.S. has been operating off of something called fractional reserve banking since the end of 08. This allows the banks to lend out up to 10 times the amount that they actually hold in assets. However, that particular stopgap was removed. So now they can lend out as much as they want. They don't have to worry about lending out up to 10 times the amount they have in assets. That doesn't matter anymore. What matters is that they actually say, well, you know, we gave out $10 million in loans today, but we don't have that money in the vault. We don't have that money in assets, in hard assets. Uh-oh, what do we do? Because we don't have enough money to cover ourselves if that goes bad. What do we do? Well, I'm just going to pick up the phone here, and I'm going to call the Fed, and I'm going to say, yeah, we gave out $10 million today. We need that. And the Fed would deposit that in the bank by the next morning. That is an overnight loan. So it would cover that. If the bank would lose that money in that loan, which 9 times out of 10, they would, the loan would go bad because zero down, no questions asked, right? If you don't believe that, look at what California is doing. They're doing zero down home loans that you do not have to repay. Think about that one for just a minute. The banks do not have the cash to be able to do this. Instead, what has happened? The Fed has been bailing out the banks. They have been increasing their own balance sheets and printing more cash or digitizing more cash, which is causing inflation. You couldn't write this. And when it all goes wrong, who do you think they're going to leave holding the bag? It's going to be you, Mr. and Mrs. John Q. taxpayer. It's a pretty good scheme from their point of view. Why are these people not being hung out to dry on lampposts? The overnight loans are finished. They canceled them 48 hours ago. We are now sitting on a ticking time bomb. I don't know when this is going to go off. I don't know how they're going to use it, but the banks are going to start going under soon. And I don't know when this is going to happen. It's just like we're in uncharted waters, literally. And it's only a matter of time at this point. The entire banking system has been supported by that, the overnight loan system that they've put in place. And no one's talked about that. No one's mentioned that. You don't hear Cramer or any of those people on CNBC talking about that. That should have been the top headline of the day, that the Fed canceled the overnight loans. They ended that. Why wasn't that talked about? They were spending, were we calculating $1 trillion a day is what they were doing thereabouts?
It was a lot. I think overall what we could see publicly, it was something like 140 some trillion dollars or something like that was all together between all the companies that was involved.
And that was just
148, I think is what it was.
That was what we accounted just, I think, within 10 years up to 2018.
Yeah. And we were looking at mostly the major corporations and companies that were involved in this. We didn't factor in everybody that was involved, like, because there's also car dealerships that were involved with this. There were, you know, a bunch of smaller insurance businesses companies that were involved, insurance companies, all of
housing,
that.
Like mortgage companies, all the rest of it. So as far as how this is going to go now, I don't know. Like I said, we've hit the iceberg on this one, and I don't know when we're going to start going down. Bruce, you alluded to the fact that it could possibly, like, they'll just wait. They'll sit on it and they'll trigger it after the election, which I don't see how you could stop it at this point. I don't think all the fraud in the world will stop a landslide that's coming because Trump's running away with everything. You go to any of these ridiculous events, you know, these speaking events where you've got people standing in line for 8-9 hours just to see Trump speak. I'm listening to conservatives that are going to these things, and they're telling me that there are no other conservatives sitting around them. They're all Democrats. So this is a big problem. This is a really big problem. They can bring in 10 million people and give them ballots and mail-in ballots and drop boxes and everything else, and I don't think that can stop it. So if they wait, and when you said after the election, I said, okay, after the election, before the inauguration. So if they trigger it then, say, I don't know, mid, late December, somewhere along in there, that's my guess, right around Christmas.
I mean, Christmas or even during Thanksgiving, you know, during that time when everybody's not busy or not busily paying attention to the news, I should say. You're all sitting around the table with family. That could, as you said, that they could also do that during Christmas or right after, you know, when everybody's on holiday. You got New Year's coming up. You're all kind of planning for your either coming home from the trips or planning for New Year's or some, you know, big party or whatever. They'll probably drop it. And it'll probably be on a Friday night is when it'll happen, so that, you know, there's no news coverage over the weekend. Nobody's paying attention, you know, something like that. They already do that anyway. They could also time it. Here's another thought. Assuming our government is in cahoots with the CCP, we'll just say Soviets to make it easy. They could easily trigger something like this and kind of set up the castle of cards, if you will. And then this summer, if China or Russia decides to move further west, whether it's on our coast or in Europe, whichever direction, they could easily knock over the cards, the castle they built up, or the house, and cause a collapse here in the United States, and basically cause all the people to be, I mean, you have economic collapse and war on multiple fronts at the same time. We talked about it with the 2030 stuff. They have to get all nations kind of on the same footing, both in the East and West. Like, everybody has to be more or less on the same footing for their one world government, one world currency thing that they're trying to do. They all have to be the same level, or within, you know, a range of the same level. You can't bring up other nations quickly to the same level of the West, the Western world. You have to take the Western world and you have to knock it down to the rest of the world standard. So that could easily be something they do. Cause war, cause economic collapse at the same time, and kick the West down to the rest of the world, to a, you know, like a Russia or China standard, or even lower.
Yes, because the standard is so high in those places.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the average Russian, what are they, it was like $400 a month or something like that.
Yeah, it's barely anything. Like,
and they spend more than half of that on food.
I was going to say that's like groceries for you know, a month of groceries, just that alone.
Here in
the States.
If you go back and you read a lot of the defector testimony, they all say basically the same thing. They're waiting for another 1929 style collapse, and they are, as in like the communist bloc, the socialist camp, and they say that they are not going to waste that opportunity again. They wanted to catch it the first time around 100 years ago, and they didn't get it, and they want to get it this time. So you're not far off.
Yeah, with the stakes being as high as they are with the Soviets right now, you know, they're on the verge of collapse. It's kind of a game right now to see who's going to collapse first, and the winner will be the one that doesn't collapse first.
Yes. Now, in order to facilitate all of this and, you know, make sure everything goes smoothly, you need a good leader, don't you? You need a good leader. You know what? It might not be Donald Trump that's the good leader here. I'm not a fan of the guy, but I think we're really underestimating our current president, aren't we? We're underestimating him, don't you think? I mean, he's coherent. He's on the ball. He has absolutely no problems whatsoever.
I don't know if you can see the gears turning. I'm trying to come up with a sarcastic remark to go along with this, but I've got nothing. Like, steam's rolling out of my ears, smoke from trying to come up with something to sarcastically commend Biden for his great success that he's had so far and how competent he is, but I've got nothing.
I have an old video of him. If you're to compare this to today, it's not the same guy, as in like the way that he presents himself. All right, I'm just going to play a little bit of this. Listen to this.
To put it in very personal terms for a moment, Joe Biden, me, I would settle for a world in which I could worry about the same kinds of things that my parents worried about, in which I only had to worry about the grades my children got in school rather than the drugs they're being exposed to, in which I only had to worry about the prices my wife had to pay at the supermarket instead of fearing that she might get mugged by a junkie in the parking lot as she loads her groceries into the car, in which tonight I could call my mom just to wish her pleasant dreams, not for the purpose of making sure she's safe in her own home. That's the kind of world I want. That's the kind of world you deserve. In a nutshell, the president's plan doesn't include enough police officers to catch the violent thugs, not enough prosecutors to convict them, not enough judges to sentence them, and not enough prison cells to put them away for a long time. We disagree with the president's decision to cut back on our previous commitment to protect against drugs coming across the border, to cut the Customs Service, the Coast Guard, and the Border Patrol.
Really?
We think we should do more to stem the flow of drugs across our borders.
Do you?
We think we should go one step further. Let's go after the drug lords where they live.
Really?
With an international strike force.
Huh.
There must be no safe haven for these narco terrorists, and they must know it. And we don't have to promise a world without worry or fear. We're not asking for that much. All we have to do together is to keep our promises and stay together. Thank you.
Who's that guy?
That's the most coherent I've heard. This is a different guy altogether. I don't think it's the same person. That is much better speaking. He still does the weird lower his voice thing, almost whisper, but it's not as bad in that video. Yeah, that was definitely a lot better. And then if you look at the content that he's talking about there, where's all that now? Where's all those concerns? Like, those are the exact same problems that we're dealing with now. And what year was that from? That was, what, the 80s or something like that?
That was the 80s, 90s? Yeah, somewhere along there. I think it was 80s, yeah. So it would have been like Reagan. Iran-Contra. He was talking about drug lords. So, yeah.
Okay. So, problem. Reagan that Bush has not been solved.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's 30, 40 years now. That has not been solved. The exact same. You could have taken that speech and given that speech now, and you wouldn't have to change anything in that.
No. And now you've got this just, I don't even know what you've got now. You just got some bumbling old, you know, whatever now. And it's just, it's ridiculous. You know, we played the clip when we started tonight where he's just sitting there and he's stuttering and, you know, doing whatever it is he's doing. The man can't even form a coherent sentence half the time. I don't know what they did to him in the State of the Union. They hit him with some kind of they give him like some adrenaline infusion or something before they stuck him up there. So anyway, here is Joe Scarborough, right? Morning Joe, Mr. Dead Intern in his office, that guy. Yeah, I still need an investigation on that. Here's his take on Joe Biden and whether or not he's the same guy at this particular point in time. Is he the same guy? I don't know. But here's what Morning Joe had to say about him.
But comparing that guy's mental state, I've said it for years now, he's cogent. Mm-hmm. But I undersold him when I said he was cogent. He's far beyond cogent. In fact, I think he's better than he's ever been intellectually, analytically, because he's been around for 50 years. And, you know, I don't know if people know this or not, Biden used to be a hothead. Sometimes that Irishman would get in front of the reasoning. Sometimes he would say things he didn't want to say. This is, and I don't really, you know what, I don't really care. Start your tape right now, because I'm about to tell you the truth. And F you if you can't handle the truth. This version of Biden, intellectually, analytically, is the best Biden ever. Not a close second. And I've known him for years. The Brzezinskis have known him for 50 years. If it weren't the truth, I wouldn't say it.
F you if you don't want to hear it. If you don't want to hear the truth. Best he's ever been.
You can take the transcripts of what Biden says. And you can really do this to anybody. You listen to the speech patterns and everything that people have, or the grammar that we use when we speak. It sounds well, but it's not grammatically correct. And our sentences are all kind of jumbled and everything. I'm bad about that personally, but this is just a little bit of Biden. This was Biden going after Trump for the cutting Social Security stuff. This is Biden, the transcript of Biden. There's a tremendous amount of things you can cut. The tremendous amount of things you can do, not cut. He said, I will. And bottom line is he's still at it. Completely cogent, as was said there.
What did he just say?
Exactly. There's nothing there. He said nothing about it. There's no content. Where is Trump saying that he's going to cut things? How are you saying you're not going to cut things? Where's any? He doesn't go into any of that. It's all just, yeah. I don't know what to say to that. They're lying to you in your face, trying to tell you that it's, you know, completely different.
All right, I can't do anymore. I know we were going to talk about some of the State of the Union, but we just ran out of time today, so we're going to have to, actually we ran over, so we are going to have to call this one done. It doesn't really matter about the State of the Union. For those of you who are interested in supporting the work that we do, if you like the content you're hearing, the link will be in the program description down below, where you can go over to our subscriber page and consider becoming one of our paid subscribers and or contributing a small donation to us. Thank you very much. That'll do it for us for today, my friend. It's been an absolute pleasure. I will see you on the next Tech Tuesday. Thank you for being here today. Thank you to all the listeners. God bless everyone and have a great evening. We'll be right back.